started. I apologize for the small delay. I was waiting for my computer to crank up, but then I saw your text and sort of just discovered. this is the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners Application Review Committee. Today is September 27th, and the time is 7:34 a.m. And I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Ms. Post, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
You got a quorum.
Okay. Wonderful. Our next item of business is the minutes of the meeting. I don't have the agenda, but I'm assuming. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that the minutes be approved.
Okay. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hold on, 1 second. We have a dog visitor, so it created a little confusion. Let's move to item number 4 on the agenda and start reviewing our application. I'm going to do the first two, and then I do need to let the board know that I need to recuse on Amy Prosser. She is a reapplication. She was reviewed by the board before, but my husband is her supervisor, so I will be recusing myself on Amy Prosser, and we will have to review her re-act before the full board on Friday, next week. So the first one is Nicole Burr, and go ahead.
Madam Chair, with Nicole Burr, I don't know if you saw my email about this one. She did not get her postdoc verification in time to be approved for EPP and licensure. So we will have to basically skip her on the Section B and look at her only in Section A as EPP only.
Okay. I do have questions on her application. Of course, the post-op supervision thing was missing, which you just talked about. Her response to question on termination, was missing. And I don't know if it was in her previous application, but she mentioned that she was terminated or something. One of the questions was a yes. And since she's working on that, we may want to make sure we have that on file when we review her next. So, informally, you did let her know that it was missing. And her study plan, I don't know. I have questions. But since we're not reviewing her and we're tabling on her, those are just some initial comments. Dr. Flowers?
Yes, I'm just scrolling through this. I guess I had not noticed the absence of the explanation on the termination. Scrolling through some here.
Yeah, I looked at it 2 or 3 times because,
okay. We certainly need to review
really
that.
Did I really miss it, I noticed, and then I went back to verify that.
Well, it could be that maybe during an earlier application she submitted it, but we need to
look at it. Yeah, so maybe we just need to look. I'm just making a note since they're going to be reviewing her at another time. So good to have a complete app. Yeah. The next one is Philip Randall, and he's a reapplication.
Madam Chair, committee. Nicole Burr was wanting to be approved for EPP only. So
Well, I cannot approve her without that missing information.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, educationally and all that probably should be eligible, but we would need to check out that other aspect of her eligibility.
Okay, so
yeah.
Do you want to
so
request
she was a question mark on my, yeah.
Do you want additional information? Did you want to make a request for additional information for her?
Yeah, then let's go ahead and do. And you know what, since we're making a request for additional information, I am a little worried about her study plan. You know, she has 2 months by the time this gets approved. Hopefully she's been studying. But between now and she said December 9th is her exam date, is what she was planning on doing. And she is somebody, if I remember, she had applied some time back and then she put it aside. And then she, you know, is a reapp. She's kind of like a new application, correct?
Yes, she has applied and been approved and failed the ECCC 3 times already.
Yes, yeah. And then she.
Okay, but yeah, most likely the documentation was submitted sometime in the past, but I guess each time we need to.
Well,
I always look at everything anyway.
Yeah.
So we need to see what was there and have it put back in.
Madam
Chair, committee, I looked through her file. I have her old application, and I do not see an explanation for this. She did not check that yes before, so it must be something since the last time she applied.
Okay. You know, if she wants to be reviewed on Friday, you know, because I think that was the main thing that was missing besides the postdoc stuff. If we have the explanation on file, then maybe we can put on the agenda for next week and review her by the full board.
Okay.
Are you okay with that so we don't delay it? Mm-hmm.
Did you also want to see a better study plan?
You know, if she can join the meeting telephonically, I would appreciate that. Her study plan was pretty detailed, but I'm really worried about the 2 months. The other thing I'm worried about is it's been a few years since she's had all her didactic coursework, and students don't realize this. The longer the time between didactics and exams, you know, chances of, you know, decay, memory decay and all that good stuff, you know.
Oh, unfortunately, we don't remember more about the coursework as years go by.
Yeah, so just because she's had practical experience doesn't mean it's going to help on the exam, you know, because the exam is very theoretical for the most part. So, you know, I want to be reassured that she's devoting enough time to the plan. The plan was detailed, but I'm thinking, wow, you've got 2 months, you know, or less than 2 months by the time you take this exam. That was my only concern about the study plan, the length of time between, you know, and maybe she can reassure me that she's been studying all along, you know, while she's waiting for this, you know, process to get approved. So those are the two things. You know, and since you're contacting her, maybe if she cannot join telephonically, maybe she can send us a brief explanation on the time factor. So.
Okay, Madam Chair, committee, then my understanding is your recommendation is to put her on the October 4th board agenda for review by the board, as long as I have the explanation for her yes answer and that she's prepared to discuss the length of time of her second
mm-hmm.
plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second candidate is Philip Randall, and he's a reapplication. I might have just said that, and I didn't have any problems with his application. Are you okay with that, Dr. Flowers?
Well, one thing I noticed looking at his internship plan, it was apparently the plan itself was signed at the end of the internship, not before, and also Dr. Randall did not sign it. Doesn't say anything about whether there were two psychologists on staff, somebody to contact in emergencies. Certainly on the checklist, that was indicated, but not in the plan itself.
Okay, let me look at it. I didn't look at it very carefully since it's been reviewed by the board before.
Let me show down here. I'm looking here, pages 48 to 52. I'm on a computer I don't always use, so let me get down here. The it looks like it. What happened at the end on page 52, it has Richard Wagner, it says May 5th of 2017, but it doesn't have the applicant's name.
You know what, this is a standard form that we have received from the U of A, and I've seen many of these in the past. And this is what U of A uses for their internship plan. And let me look through it. It's very familiar to me.
Okay.
And completed by the fieldwork supervisor. And I noticed Dr. Wagner did sign at the bottom. What happens with all of these school psych internships? The university has an MOU with the agency, and the MOU is generally signed by like a higher official, like the president or something like that. That's how. And then we have to attach this addendum to the memorandum of agreement that we have with the school district, and so we have this, you know, this memorandum. It is pretty detailed. And Dr. Wagner did sign it, and we've approved it before. Plus, he signed the form. I'm okay with it.
Okay. That's why it's good to have somebody that is in a training environment that deals with this. So, okay, I'm okay with that one as well.
Yeah.
That it can go forward.
Mm-hmm.
For
okay.
I guess it'd be for ECCC only, right? It appears
yes.
to be okay with that.
And do you want to go ahead and we're skipping over Dr. Proctor, but do you want to go ahead and do Dr. Azeline?
Okay, let me take a look at that one. Dr. Azeline completed a degree. PsyD at Chicago School of Professional Psychology and Clinical Psychology, APA approved. Completed an internship at the May Institute. It was done between July 2017 to June 2018. 2,000 hours, APA approved, an APIC member. Then the postdoc was from November 2018 to September 2019. At the Developmental Medicine Center at BCH, 1,500 hours. Two references, Dr. Switzer, an Illinois psychologist, and then Dr. Nat Clarez, an Illinois psychologist. Everything appears to be in order, and so I believe that one would be fine to go forward for ECCC and licensure. On successful completion of ECCC, payment of fees, and so on.
Okay, I'm good with that. I'll do the next one, Dr. Bargo.
Madam Chair,
yes,
go ahead.
Did you make a motion on Section A?
No, I'm aware of it, and I just thought we'd do it at the end. We do two motions. So.
Oh, okay. We do it as a bunch, right?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I have it. I made a note. I just thought we can just go with this set and then we do two.
Sounds good.
Yes.
So the next one is Barbo Cellini. This is a graduate from the Fuller Theological Seminary, which is an APA-approved program. He completed an internship at Danielson Institute, which was APA-approved. He also did a postdoc, which had a plan. I didn't have any problems with his application.
I concur with what you're saying. I didn't see any problems with that application. Moving on.
You want to do Karen Hawk? It's Jeremy Singh.
Okay. Looking at that one, I completed a PhD at Texas A&M. It was completed in August 2018 in counseling psychology, an APA-approved program. Internship from July 2017 to July 2018 at Central Texas Veterans Healthcare System, 2,080 hours, APA and APIC member, APA-approved and APIC member. Postdoctoral at Central Texas VA between September 2018 to June 2019, 1,500 plus hours. There's, like on a lot of applicants, appear to be some confusion on question number 10 regarding electronic supervision percentage. That was a double negative we dealt with many times. There is a postdoctoral training plan. It was done retroactively, signed by the supervisor, but not by Dr. Sains, and it's also not dated. So I'm just wondering, I think we've approved many times retroactive plans.
Yes.
I'd feel more comfortable if it were dated and Dr. Sains also signed it. I'm not sure how you feel about that, Dr. Malott, if that's being too picky.
I think the reason why it was not, where is it? So we're looking at, it was signed by Dr. Creech on the second page, which was before the first page. So Dr. Creech signed it, and we talk about a retroactive plan. We do not really say that it has to be signed by all parties. So
okay.
And so they included it, and I have provided a board written plan developed by the training organization.
And I forget, I know we've done this thing about the percentage of electronic supervision and the double negatives. Can that simply, like a phone call, be made to verify what it means? And then it can be, we can also move this
yeah.
forward.
Yeah, okay. Ms. Folks, can you just verify? But I'm pretty sure it's okay because chances are they did 100%. Online.
Yeah, and it's just hard to 100%. Figure out what the question means.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, I will take care of that. I'll make sure that gets corrected before it goes to the board.
Yes, a minor but maybe important thing.
No problem.
And then, did you want to go me to do the next one as well, or?
We really don't need Ms. Folks to call. When I'm reading the agreement that she attached, she said that at least 2 hours of face-to-face supervision weekly, she clarified.
Okay, then you can do it in person, electronically,
yeah.
unless they're sitting to each other using their phones.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
Okay, then that one also can just be added.
Go ahead and do the next one, Dr.
Okay. Oh, you still like me to do it? Okay. This is on Dr. Hawk, a reapplication. licensed associate counselor in Arizona, indicated an issue about termination. What happened, apparently she worked at Erickson's clinic and she had difficulties completing administrative tasks in a timely manner. As far as her educational background, she
I can go on, Dr. Flowers, for the application, unless we have new concerns, I prefer that we don't go over all of the pieces.
Okay.
Unless it's
because apparently if it's re-app, that was yeah. submitted, I guess, and dealt with previously.
Yeah. But sometimes we
okay.
notice something new that was an issue that we
oh,
didn't
okay.
Yeah.
Looking at this, you know, she does indeed have a degree, an internship, National Psychology Training Consortium, APA member, and APA approved, an APIC member. The two references appear to be appropriate and good, and licensed psychologist. So I believe that one can also go forward.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. The next one is Dr. Ferreira, and like re-apps, and if we are getting a request for additional information, I prefer we just focus on the question on hand, unless somebody notices something new, you know, because we're not fully, I mean, we're not reviewing, the application has been reviewed, especially like Dr. Hawks, you know, we probably discussed her, you know, yes answer in detail, so. You know, I want to spare the person, you know, rehash.
Okay.
If it's not a new concern. So Dr. Ferreira, we requested additional information. She was missing 82 hours of post-pre-doc. You know, whatever information she submitted did not meet our requirements. Dr. Ferreira and her supervisor, we received a new pre-doc with the 82 hours was submitted. It appears to meet the guidelines, so she meets the condition that was placed on her, and I'm prepared to move her forward.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
And,
next one, you go ahead. You want to do Dr.
Oh, I got to say, it appears it's Dr. Bergen who was covered previously. So.
Yes.
I think that was in the hopes that she'd submit the postdoc documentation, which she did not do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the next one is Dr. Ballou. Let me take a look here. There's some issues on this one. I guess this is not a reality. Go forward.
Yeah.
There was some issue about... There's a number of issues, one of them possible criminal history, and discussed what occurred back in the day when he was 20 years old, and eventually he made some changes, and the case was dismissed 2009, and is able, in spite of the difficulty he had, to get a level 1 fingerprint clearing card, and that kind of thing. Yeah, something that happened in Kansas, and he was having issues, made some mistakes. And then as far as educational training, went to, it looks like Antioch University, started doctoral training in October of 2014, received his ID in September 2018 in clinical psychology. It was not an APA approved program. Looking at the transcripts and his explanation of core areas, to me it appeared that some of the areas may be deficient. He completed a 3/4 hour ethics course. I think a 3 semester hour is needed. And the course for biological basis of behavior, 3/4 hour, and not really clear whether that's actually in biological area. The course was, I think, affective basis of behavior. That to me, I'm not an expert in biology, does not seem to be you know, if affective means kind of emotional, then the cognitive affective basis of behavior course is 3/4 hours again. Social basis of behavior course was 3/4 hours. Individual differences course was also 3/4 hours. So to me, there's a question about whether or not he has complied, has met the requirements for those areas. Let's see, moving on to the internship, July 2017 to June 2018. It was done at the North Philadelphia Healthcare System, Girard Medical Center. Completed 2,056 hours for the whole year. APA approved APIC member, and then a postdoctoral program that he went to that was 1,500 plus hours. Let's see, that was at Sierra Tucson. And the training plan, reading through it, it indicates that there's an hour of individual supervision a week, and then 1 hour of group supervision. So that, again, may not meet the requirements. The references were from Dr. Carno, a psychologist in California, and Dr. Nadalmi, licensed in several states. And then it appears that there's an error on the one from Dr. Nadalmi. It says that the individual has reservations about recommending him to be a psychologist. Most likely, he just put the check mark in the wrong box, but that's an issue. It would need to be fixed or inquired about. So, you know, those are some of the concerns, the key concerns I found with the application.
Yeah. So this is one that we definitely need to request
additional information. Okay.
Additional information. So one of the things I noticed, Ms. Folks, when we're writing this letter, is that he does have the coursework. I reviewed his transcripts in detail, and I found other graduate-level coursework. So he earned a master's along the way, and he can count his graduate coursework that he, that is posted on his transcript, which is allowable. They were very appropriate courses, and he needs to do a good job looking at his coursework and applying the right coursework to the right category. He just threw in courses. To the best of my knowledge, he did not read our form, and it is his responsibility. If he had made one mistake forgot to include one course, and I would have said, I see it on his transcript, let's move ahead. But he did it in every category, so that was concerning, and he has, in my opinion, so he needs to go back and review his transcripts carefully. And he had a course, and I'll give you examples, psychobiology and psychopharmacology. That would fit under the the biological basis of behavior. He did not list it. He had another course. I saw, he had affective basis of behavior. He also had human learning and cognitive program, which would fit under the learning and stuff. He has 6 units there. He has, as I go through his transcript, he could have had calm. So we need to really give him feedback to complete his documentation thoroughly, and fill out the coursework accordingly, because for the most part, the psychobiology, I'd have to go back and look again. But I saw that one course that he did not even include. He's had multicultural. He's had, he's had tons of courses that he needs to, and he's had 2 different ethics courses. He's had lots of development classes that he can use. So it's just interesting why he didn't complete that more.
Just putting it in there. Kind of guiding us to the location, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. The other thing that Dr. Flowers mentioned was the reference, and we do need to ask the reference, the psychologist who marked that, to provide us with an explanation, what are the concerns that we need to review before the board. So we need to contact him
because that is concerning to see. You know, that's a very serious mistake to make if you did make, unless they misinterpreted. No, we don't have concerns, so they must know.
Yeah, well, most likely, he just was careless to put the check mark in the wrong box, but we need to make sure that's what it was.
Yeah, because he gave him pretty high ratings on each of the items.
Yeah, it wouldn't be consistent to say that he did. He has a group. I'm really impressed with him, but I have reservations. It's like, what?
Yeah. So, and what are the reservations if he doesn't make have reservations? Okay, so we definitely need more information on
that. Well, I'm wondering, too, as far as the documentation on the internship, if that's, you know, that's the issue about, I see it's like a 1 hour individual a week, 1 hour group supervision.
Oh, you mean
a
on
week.
The postdoc, on the postdoc, right?
I mean, I'm kind of disoriented on all my paperwork here.
Because his internship was an ACA approved internship.
Oh, okay, yes, that's was, correct.
Yes.
Yes, it was the postdoc.
He does say 104 hours of supervision, so he...
Well, it does, but then you read details, and it's like, yes, there were, but half of them were in a group setting.
Oh. Okay, I took that.
And so I think he would, you know, we would need, we could request
clarification. Well, he needs an additional 1,000 hours because he has a 2,000-hour internship. So he needs additional 1,000 hours that meets our requirements, you know.
Yeah.
So we do need to talk with the postdoc and point out. So.
But I guess that could be part of the letter or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, Kate. Okay. Well, moving ahead, the next one we have is Sarah Yassin. She got her doctorate from Nova Southeastern University, did ACA-approved internship, postdoc hours looked good. I didn't have any problems with her application.
Yes, I agree. That one, I think, can also be approved and move forward.
Yeah, do you want to do Dr. Gambrell?
Okay. This, I need a bit of education here. I saw that the ASU is apparently where he went, and it talks about that it's accredited and active, APA. I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean it's still APA approved?
Well, it was APA approved at the time he graduated, so it does count as him graduating from an APA approved program.
Okay.
So, yeah, the program no longer exists, you know, but the program has been discontinued since then, so.
Okay. But anyway, he received his PhD in school psychology at Arizona State University, it looks like in December 2014. And, okay, internship, Scottsdale Unified School District, July 2013 to July 2014. APIC member, 2,000 hours. Postdoctoral work was done at the same place. And apparently it was an APIC postdoctoral program, which is unusual, but also a nice bonus. And then references from Dr. Brennan and Dr. Cohen, both of them, Arizona psychologists, and that application appears to be in order now that I have a better understanding of what accredited and active means in regards to his case. So I believe that one can go forward well.
Yes, but I think that concludes, let me look at the agenda. Can I keep Xing out of it?
Okay.
I'll make the first motion, and that is approving Dr. Randall to sit for the ECCC. We had, was there,
Dr. Randall, did you have a question on Dr. Randall? I'm just kind of thinking. You want something there?
Let me just.
You remember, the school has it in her notes.
Oh, well, that one, I forget. I raised the issue of the internship, that it was completed and the internship plan was completed at the end. Not trying to bother Dr. Randall. I think you were saying that looking into the documentation that it's okay. That sometimes they do that. In the school district system. So I believe that one was considered
a
No.
I think it would be if that one could go forward, for example.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the UOK one that we looked at. And yeah, okay. I couldn't remember exactly what we said. Okay, so I make a motion that we approve Dr. Burr moving forward to the full board for a request to sit for the ECCC. Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. I'll go ahead and make the second motion, that is to approve the candidate for move them to the full board for approval to sit for the exam and licensure. Dr. Prosser, we table to be reviewed by the full board. Dr. Adelan is fine. Dr. Barbara Salami was okay. Dr. Sains was okay. Dr. Hawk was okay. Dr. Ferrara was okay. We are requesting more information from Dr. Ballou and Dr. Yassin was okay, and Dr. Gamro was okay. So, do I hear a second?
I second. Board staff, did you make notes of all those different things?
We did, thank you.
But yes, I second the motion.
We had a couple that we wanted some information, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you pointed those out.
Yeah. Okay. So all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion approved. We can move to the next category, which is a request of approval for licensure by waiver. We have four in this category. We have Dr. Bond. I did not see a post-op agreement, you know. There's a supervision form in the handbook of the postdoc place, but I don't see an agreement between Dr. Barnes and the agency, so we will need something. Is it retroactive? So, did you notice anything else for Dr. Barnes?
Well, I was wondering if the Maryland psychologist license was verified. Looking at that one. Open that up here.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, it appears it did not scan correctly. It is in the file.
Okay, good, because I believe we have to verify that, but sounds as if it is in there. We just don't see it.
Yeah, somehow it didn't scan correctly. I do have an official verification with seal and signature. We received it August 30th, 2019. His date of licensure for Maryland was August 17, 2016. Expiration date was March 31st, 2020. The status is active, and it states Dr. Barnes' license is in good standing with the state of Maryland, Board of Examiners of Psychologists, and then it's signed by the by an administrative aide at the MD Board of Examiners of Psychologists.
Okay, great. But yes, the issue about the postdoc training plan is an important one
yeah.
to get more clarification on.
Okay, so we will send him a letter asking for that information.
It looks like internship was solid, and has passed the EPPP. Sure, let me get my paperwork to that section here. Okay, well, what is it? We're now with Dr. Tompkins. Licensed California psychologist, and also it indicates that she like a registered psychological assistant and associate marriage and family therapist in California. She completed a PsyD in clinical psychology at the Fuller Theological Seminar in August 2014, an APA approved program. And then the internship was at the R.J. Donovan Health Service Psychology. And 1,968 hours, an APIC member. And postdoc. Okay, I didn't mention the dates of the internship, 2017 August to August 2018. And then the postdoc. Pepperdine University Counseling Center between August 2018 and May 2019, 1,540 hours, and it appears that there was adequate contact, supervision, and so on. And on that one, provided the California supervision agreement that to me appeared to meet what's needed, what we would need for the postdoc plan, and then references from Dr. Bolton, an Arizona and New York psychologist, and Dr. Weldy, a California psychologist, both positive, and there's indication of completion of EPPP. And so that one I feel can go forward for approval.
Yes. Next one is Dr. Lori Milne. And she is a graduate of the University of British Columbia. She completed a doctoral program that was accredited by the Canadian Psychological Association. When she started the program, it was approved by APA, but then APA and Canada made an agreement that Canada would approve, Canada and APA would only approve. They have a lot of equivalency. However, she also submitted her coursework in case we wouldn't accept the Canada accreditation, and her coursework is fine. She had an APA-approved internship, her postdoc hours appear fine, references were okay, so I have no problems with the application.
Yes, I agree. I also looked through the coursework, and you know, it appears they would, even if we wanted to look at each area, would be fine. One thing is, because of the hours she had, probably not a huge issue to worry about, but it indicates that she started her postdoc before the degree was granted by a couple of months. But,
That's great. Yeah, you want to do the next one?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Oh, we just go ahead with Dr.
Are you okay?
With the previous one, yes. I just said it we could ask her for all that clarification, but I don't see a need because it's clear that she would have enough hours.
Yes.
Moving on to Dr. Barnacle. I think I need to ask you a question on this, Dr. Millett. It does say that her program was COA approved. Would that indicate APA COA?
Yes.
Oh,
COA
okay.
is the organization for APA, the Commission on Accreditation for the Approval. We all use the word APA, you know, because...
Okay. Okay. So anyway, Dr. Barnacle is a California New Mexico psychologist, successfully passed ECCC 2009. Let's see. There was one item, it looks like she didn't answer correctly. She needs to indicate that she's also has a school psychology license. That I think is kind of a minor thing. That was item number 9 on our PDF number 3. Another issue would be about entering into a consent agreement, which was not answered correctly either. That's item number 12. I guess there are issues about not completing enough CEUs, and so gave up the license, agreed to an order of resignation on that. And but received a PhD 2008, counseling and educational psychology in New Mexico State University. Internship at the Southern Arizona Psychology Internship Center, July 2007 to June of 2008. That is also an APA approved and it's an APIC member, 1,920 hours. And then the postdoc, October 2008 to October 2009, with Dr. Lacop in New Mexico. And then indicates that there's an unsigned postdoctoral training plan, indicates that the original was destroyed after 7 years. I'm wondering on this, if we need to have the full board look at it, because I don't know if it's surrendering, it was a different name, but giving up the license because he did not enough CEUs. So there's that. Can you give your input, Dr. Yes. Milano?
Yeah, the board, Texas Board also provides licenses for psychologists, and it's a specialist license. It's not a full license, you know, as opposed to in Arizona, the State Board of Education does it. So,
it appears to be a master's level license just for school psychology.
And you know, he was already moved on, and he was no longer interested. He was hoping for it to expire, and. You know, and then, you know, I don't think he realized the implications of just letting it lapse because he got into trouble. I mean, you know, he didn't submit the hours and they wanted to go in person.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it sounds kind of like surrendering
what he
said, the license.
Yeah, and what he said, basically surrendered his license. So, the only thing I had a question was his postdoc, because he is using his postdoc. His internship was an APA-approved internship, and he had 1920 hours, so he needed another 1,080 hours. And he said, so you sent the request asking him on August 29, Ms. Polk, you know, I appreciate you catching those, Ms. Polk, so that has not happened before. So you're noticing things that we're going to have questions on, so we have a newly submitted.
Madam Chair?
I'm okay with moving.
Madam Chair, this is Kathy.
Yes.
I often don't include those emails in the applications. This actually happens quite often. It's surprising how often.
Oh, okay.
But I had wanted to include it this time because I found it interesting and wanted you to be aware that Dr. Kopp indicated on the initial application that the training records were destroyed after 7 years, which had puzzled me. He claimed it was by APA guidelines. So I contacted APA because that sounded odd to me to find out exactly what the recommendation was by APA, and it is that they are to keep and maintain training records permanently. So I wondered if you would find it concerning that this verification was being done without any training records to refer to.
So I think what I'd like to do with, you know, I'm inclined to approve them, but I do want Dr. Bonelko maybe to, issue an invitation to come before the full board telephonically. Because the one thing I wanted him to know that he said, well, the letter arrived at an address and I had moved, you know, which was really what created the issue. Because he was in a doctoral program and he would have had no problem submitting his continuing ed. You know, he was taking actual graduate courses in psychology, you know. But I think the issue really was the lack of address, you know, a forwarding address. And so I think it would behoove us to advise him that, you know, he has to inform the board every time he moves, you know, and we are not responsible for letters not being forwarded to him, so because I don't want him to get into that kind of trouble again in Arizona, you know. So,
well, and also, the gravity of basically, it's almost like surrendering a license is rough as well.
Mm-hmm. He's a little cavalier about it.
I'm wondering too the issue about destroying the records. I don't know all what APA thinks I should, but I don't. But I saw that as like if you have a training program, they're supposed to do it. But possibly that the psychologists who are acting as just the supervising psychologists are not the program. They're a psychologist. So maybe it's defensible that they would destroy their records.
At NAU, we have to destroy all our records on students after 3 years. So we don't have to keep practicum records, things like that. So agencies do have, but I think his mistake was the supervisor, not the licensee, saying APA requires, and APA actually does not. And he was mistaking client records. But most of us, including the state of Arizona, says, you know, student records, and we only have a certain window of time we have to keep it. We are not keeping it longer because students need those records sometimes 10 years and 15 years later, but it's not required by the institution. So.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, if you look on page 52 mm-hmm. of page 75 for Dr. Barnacle's application, there is an email from APA explaining exactly what the guidelines are for programs to maintain records.
I know, and I was really happy to see that because I'm going to share that information, not the file, but the information with my training program because I don't think they're aware of it. So,
yeah, I found it really interesting as well.
Because that is a new one for me. So. You think I would know a lot, but you learn something new every day. So it's a really good one to know. Maintain accurate records of supervised training experiences, you know, so an evaluation. Permanently maintain. Oh, my gosh. That means, you know, that's like 60 years, 100 years. I guess it would be 99 years if you'd have to maintain it. That's considered permanent.
Well, I'm wondering, too, what the effective date for that it was as well.
It was February 2015. That's why I think
okay.
For implementation in 2017. So this token actually doesn't fall under that. So, you know, it
yeah.
wasn't a standard for, you know, this is brand new. It's the first time I'm reading
okay.
it, so I really appreciate Ms.
Yeah, Paul's I guess it'd be hard to
I've read the SOA, and boy, I have to go back and look at that again because I cannot remember. And I'm admitting this in public. I get in trouble.
It's amazing all the different things that are going on. Because yeah, when I read that, I thought this is totally new to me, which you know,
yeah, I bet you
know,
he doesn't know that. So if you can add Dr. Barnell, so I don't want him to get in trouble again. I don't really have a problem with his application, but I do want him to be aware of change of address and being, you know, up to date on statutes.
We're going to ask that he be reviewed by the full board that he attend by phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's
alternate,
so we don't have. But just be request independent without, you know. So.
Okay, but if he doesn't attend, then I guess I'm
but
just.
But we let the full board decide what they want to do. So we won't make a decision on that.
Okay, we can have the full board review it and so on. Okay.
Yeah.
Because basically most of the application looks fine, but there are just a few troubling issues.
Yeah, and I think I'm looking at this as being more educational, you know. So.
Yes, just so he's more aware of what he does. And
yeah.
So anyway.
Okay, I think we finished that category. Do you want to make a motion? I'm looking, it was 11, 12, 13, 14. So I I'd like to move Dr. Tompkins, Dr. Mills to the full board for approval for licensure on payment of the fee. Dr. Barnelko as a separate item for review by the full board, and Dr. Barnard as request for more information.
I second the motion.
Oh,
I second.
Aye. Motion carried. We will move to the next one, and we have two applications, and I'm going to do them as a group, unless you have a problem. They have been reviewed by this full board before. That's when we. You know, but the main thing we are reviewing at this point is the supervised experience. They have had pass and fold of the ECCC, and we just need to review their postdoc, and both of those appear to be appropriate for Dr. Sigler and Dr. Kusman. Do you have a problem with either one's postdoc experience?
No.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve Dr. Sigler and Dr. Kusman to move to the full board for approval. Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We're done with E. F is requesting approval for licensure by Universal. E, requesting approval from licensure by Prudential. I do have a 9 o'clock meeting, Dr. Flowers. I'm moving a little more quickly, especially for these categories that are straightforward. E is requesting approval for licensure by Prudential. We have Dr. Warner and Dr. Murphy. Both of them are CPQ applications. Dr. Warner is from the University of Georgia, and Dr. Murphy is from the University of Denver. by the very fact that they have CPQ, we know that they are, all of their credentials have been verified and the board accepts the CPQ. So unless you have an issue, I'd like to move both of these forward to the full board for approval. And I'm making that as my motion. Do you have any, do I have a second?
I second the motion.
Yeah, do we have further discussion on these two applications?
Not at this time.
Okay, good. So all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All in, all opposed say nay. Okay, motion carries. We are done with item number E. The last one is item F, and we have three requests for approval for license. I'd like to do them. Okay, here's my recommendation, Dr. Flowers. Since this is such a new category, I have problems with actually all three. And I'll tell you my problem with the universal recognition. Dr. Jepson, I did not see ECCC scores. Dr. Corbett submitted an ECCC score that fell below the requirements for Arizona. And that was troublesome to me. And I'll tell you why it was troublesome. We talked about the equity, you know, clause the last time we met. And I know of applicants in Arizona that were not licensed because they did not meet the passing score requirement. And I know there's one particular case a long time ago who was a student at NAU, and I said, are you going to take the exam again? You just failed by 1 point. You know, and he says, you know what, I give up. I tried, I failed, I'm moving on, you know. And so he was denied a licensure because he failed by almost the same score. And now with universal recognition, we would be accepting somebody who had same scores like other people who haven't been licensed in Arizona. And that bothers me. So, and so I just want the full board to discuss it. You know, we might end up proving it, but and I did not see a score for Dr. Jepson.
Madam Chair, the statute for universal recognition does not allow us to obtain ECCC scores. We cannot verify anything but their license in another state and their residence determination. That's the only thing the statutes allow us to verify for universal recognition applications.
Okay, so the reason why I think I saw Dr. Corbett was Connecticut or some other board included it in their verification.
Correct.
And that's why I saw the ECCC score.
Correct.
Okay, so technically then Dr. Jepson meets the requirements, but I still think it's worth, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Dr. Flowers?
Well, you know, looking at the three applicants, you know, with the actual universal recognition of policies, they appear to all meet the requirement, but I'm also troubled.
Does not meet the requirement. We had a meeting earlier this week on it. So.
Okay. Oh, which person? I'm sorry.
Dr. Kapoor.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. Does he have a CID? Why does it say CID? I thought he was the person we discussed last week. Maybe I was mistaken. Okay, no, sorry. No, this person does have a doctor's CID. Okay, I was confused.
I'm also troubled with, you know, some people we've turned down because I forget, there's an applicant that wanted to come in and his scores were too low, and, you know, I told him he'd need to take the ECCC again, even though his license elsewhere. Strictly speaking, he can now come in and apply this other way and get approved. So it is troubling. I don't know that, you know, maybe that could be an item to discuss at the board. Maybe it would need to go to the legislative committee as this is not new statutes, I guess, or policy from the state, but it is troubling.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, would you like us to put these on the board agenda October 4th individually, not on the consent?
Yeah, I think other than us taking, yeah, I think we could just review each one individually. Dr. Nigam Kapoor has a retired actor's license, so what does that mean? So I think we just, as we're getting familiar with it, I hate to make a recommendation one way or the other by optimism,
okay.
But so we get a good sense on the direction and get Ms. Galvin's, advice,
I think it'd be wise, but I think Dr. Kapoor still has, I think there are several licenses. One of them is an active or retired, but I think there are some current ones.
And this is Jennifer. Ms. Galvin is not present today, unfortunately, but we can definitely put all three applications on the agenda individually for the October 4th meeting, so that way all members can discuss it as we're getting familiar with it and get Ms. Galvin's legal advice at that time. I think that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. As we are dealing with this new category, it just doesn't fit right. So,
It seems like there are some applicants who may be not eligible for the other ways, and they say, well, I'll just get myself a rental, or get a rent something in Arizona, move in, and I don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, and so, I think the key is, yeah, it's a new category, and we all need to be on the same page. So. Okay, so we don't need to make a motion for that, do we?
No, you don't.
Recommend or whatever I'll place on the board agenda for next Friday.
Yeah. Okay, so having done that, if we can move to, I think that completes our agenda. We can move to the next item, additional items. Do you have any additional items?
Number five, discussion, consideration, and possible action on changes to the post-op professional experience verification form. I don't believe we discussed that yet.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I only have 2 minutes. I might have to table that item.
Okay, that's fine. If you don't think we'll have
we also put this on the full board agenda, I'd like to get Dr. Meyer's opinion too. And
yes, we will add this item onto October 4th board meeting agenda.
Yeah. Okay. The next item is, I keep using the agenda, so I keep clicking on it. Somehow I get out of there.
Number six, new agenda item.
Future meeting, item six. Do you have any right now, Doctor? You can always add them later.
Okay, yeah, I can't think of anything to review next time other than more applications.
Okay. Thank you, and
Dr. Flowers, can you clarify what you mean, one application? I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Oh, I just make it a silly comment. I was going to say the new agenda items would be more applications.
Okay.
Dr. Flowers is making a joke. It's not, he doesn't do that too often.
I like it.
Before we move to item number seven, which is adjournment, I want to thank these folks, Ms. Mickelson, for their great work in pulling all these applications together. And I do like the new system. It is very easy to use, and I can use it on multiple devices, which is always beneficial, since I always walk around with 5 devices. So never know when I have time to do one application, so I really appreciate it. And I want to thank Dr. Flowers for a thorough review you can count on him for catching everything. So thank you all, and we can move to item number 7, which is adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.